Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen forevermore. I want to encourage every one of us to get the first service tape. It's going to bless you tremendously. We're going to find a place to pause today on this teaching. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, in the splendor of your majesty, deep within our spirit sings, you are holy. And thank you for making us holy. Because each time we read and sing and learn of your attributes, your nature, and what you're capable of and who you are, we see ourselves in it. You are holy. You have made us holy. You are a miracle-working God. You make us work miracles. You are a righteous God. You made us righteous. For this, we are satisfied. We say thank you again to be satisfied today again with your word. The satisfaction you give to us is the hunger for more. And we have come to take today again. We pray that the truth we hear today, we'll bear them in heart. I will bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name. And the church says a big
amen.
Glory to God. Good morning, church. All right, so I have a beautiful teaching for you this morning that I began 2 Sundays ago, captioned Facts and Foundation. And we have looked at some of these facts. We said we're trying to address some fundamental truths of the Christian faith that must be real to us as Christians. They are the foundation because they determine the tempo, they determine the speed and the acceleration at which our growth in our walk with God would be. You know, Philemon 1 verse 6, the Bible says that the communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging there is from the word epignosis. It means exact and perfect knowledge. So that means our spiritual growth is directly proportional to the degree of how much of exact knowledge of who we are in Christ that we have embraced. It will also determine the tempo of our walk in the same. You see, spiritual growth simply means the visible development of the recreated human spirit transferable into a quality walk in the spirit. And to walk in the spirit is not something spooky. In Galatians 5 verse 16, the Bible says to walk in the spirit and will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And there, right there, Paul tells us what the works of the flesh are from verse 19 downwards, in contrast to what it means to walk in the spirit, which he began in verse 22. In verse 19, it says, the work of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and so on and so forth. Then in verse 22, it says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Can you see that? So that means it's telling us to walk in the Spirit in verse 16, and it tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is in verse 22. So to walk in the Spirit simply means to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, goodness, kindness. In other words, walking in love is walking in the Spirit. Because joy is goodness, joy is kind, joy is long-suffering. I mean, love, beg your pardon. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. So this is what we call spiritual growth. And you know, I understand the semantics behind, you know, trying to separate the fruit of the Spirit from the gift of the Spirit. But in reality, they are one and the same. Because you see, the fruit of the Spirit is the expression of our moral excellence by the influence of the Spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost. Why the gift of the Spirit simply means the display, all right, of our charismatic gifts by the influence of the Spirit. Healing the sick, working miracles, is the Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that makes us walk in our, or display our charismatic gift, is the same Holy Ghost that influences us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Can you see that? And that's the testimony of salvation. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will take away the stony heart and I'll put the heart of flesh. I will cause you to walk in my statue. You see, I'll put my spirit within you. The same testimony of Jeremiah 33 from verse 31 to 33, saying the same thing. Quoted in the book of Hebrews chapter number 8 from verse 7, saying the same thing. All right, that you see, you know, in Psalms 110 and verse 3, the Bible says, my people shall be willing in the day of his power. That means the resurrection power will produce in them a willing heart. They will be willing offering themselves. They will offer themselves for the service of God. Can you see that? And this service of God, all right, is not limited to either the gift of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. They are one and the same. What it's basically saying is our walk will be influenced by the Spirit. So that same Spirit that will make us walk, all right, to exude charismatic display is the same Spirit that will cause us to display, all right, our moral excellence. It's the same Spirit. So don't separate them. And that's why in Christianity, in church today in the world, we have, you know, religion have made us preach on either side of extremes. So you hear people talk about Christians should walk in character. They should walk in the fruit of the Spirit. They should not walk in the gift of the Spirit. They should walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Then the other extreme says, no, let us walk in the gift of the Spirit. Let us not walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, what are you talking about? Both the gift and the fruit, they are all by the influence of the Spirit. How about you take everything? You have to eat all the food on the table. This is 7-course meal, bro. Come on, talk to me. Eat everything, produce everything. Why? Because we've been made to bear the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of the Spirit. It's never good to pitch your theology on either of the extremes. All right, we don't have to preach our theology on either of the extremes of those who say, well, let us walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I don't believe in all those. And some who say, no, let us walk in the gift of the Spirit. See, these are just semantics. And these are metaphors that Paul used to teach the people he was talking with or talking to. In Psalms 110, no, the Bible says, my people shall be willing in the day of his power. That means resurrection power will produce in men willing hearts. Yielded art to the influence of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit are simply the display of our moral excellence by the influence of the Spirit. While the gift of the Spirit simply means, all right, our charismatic display by the influence of the Spirit. It's all by the Spirit. So as a child of God, you don't have to preach your theology on either of the extremes. Accept the ability by the Spirit of God within you to walk in your charismatic display. Heal the sick, raise the dead if need be, say loud amen. Amen. And walk in good character too. Because you see, it's a testimony of your salvation that he has given to you a spirit that will cause you to walk in a statue. And I believe it's important to eat all the food on the table, say loud amen. Amen. All right, so we're looking at something else this afternoon, this morning. We are still in the morning. We have looked at the reality of the new creation. We have looked at the reality of the word. We have looked at the reality of the indwelling Spirit. We have looked at the reality of redemption. Now we have looked at, so now we are looking at the reality of our authority in the name. The reality of our authority in the name. Now this is so important. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark 16 and verse 17. Mark 16 and verse 17. I want us to read Mark's name. I know you know it so well. You're familiar with it. Look at it. Mark 16 and verse 17. Come on, let's go. 3, 2, go. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Somebody say, in my name. Say it again. Say it again. So we have the name to be used, given to us by the Lord Jesus. Now, when we talk about name, all right, I'm going to do another teaching. We'll do a series on the name. There's a whole lot to share about the name. But something you have to know is one of the barriers to Bible interpretation is sometimes we mix up Bible language. So it takes the grace of teaching and a solid teacher to help you see instances where certain Bible languages are used. Let me give you an instance. For example, the Bible says, be not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. For you to understand the gravity of that statement, You have to understand that in Bible days, they use animals to generate farm power. And so they put a yoke on two animals so that those animals will help them to plow the soil. Now, God has a rule in the book of Leviticus that you must not yoke two different animals. If you yoke a cow and a horse together, the cow will get tired quickly. They are two different species, and God says that is injustice. That you must yoke the same animals together, the same animals of the same species. So now Paul is now borrowing Bible thinking, that, you know, traditional way of thinking, that analogy to explain that, look, when an unbeliever, when a believer is in an intimate relationship with an unbeliever, he says it is an unequal yoking. That means is that believer is yoking himself with somebody that he's not supposed to be yoked with. That means the believer is a different species from an unbeliever. So don't yoke. He's talking about association. Come on, talk to me. Now, if you don't have that knowledge in the Old Testament, you won't, because some words were borrowed from the Old Covenant to explain things depending on the audience. So now that's why he began to explain in verse 15. He says, what concord has light with darkness? So he calls the believer light. He calls the unbeliever what? Darkness. What relationship does, what fellowship does Christ and Belial? So he calls the believer Christ. He calls the unbeliever Belial. He says, what relationship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So he calls the believer righteousness. He calls the unbeliever unrighteousness. He says, what concord does the temple of God and idol? So he calls the believer temple of God, the unbeliever. So he began to differentiate. So in chapter 7, he now says, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all this filthiness of the flesh. That means the filthiness that comes from the association with people who are darkness. Come on, idol. Come on, talk to me. Belial, unrighteousness. Are you following? So you see, sometimes you have to take your time to read the Bible so you can understand some of this Bible language. So for instance, when scripture says, in my name, you will cast out devils. You see, it doesn't simply just mean saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's not what it's saying. That is inclusive, but that is not all there is about it. So you hear people who say, I use the name of Jesus, I've been called the name of Jesus since, and nothing happened. You're missing the point. It's not in the calling of the name of Jesus. I mean, I use it too. I mean, if you were in first service, you saw the things that we saw in first service. Praise God. I mean, it is often. But it is deeper than just using the name, say, in the name of Jesus. You see, when you say in the name of Jesus, what you are actually doing is you are bringing to your conscious names the real meaning of that using of the name. So it is that real meaning I want to tell you now. See, when we say in the name of Jesus, you know, all right, you know, for example, please come, sir. This is a major. He was formerly a captain. He's not a major. Now, look at him now. Imagine if a general has a function somewhere. He now says, Major Michel, go to that function in my name. When they want to do general salute in that place, will they give it to you? They will do it to you, right? Can you say that? So now the sentry guards and everybody, they will treat him like a general. Why? Because he has come in the name of that, even though he is a major, which is just like three steps away from brigadier general. That's after that, I think that's lieutenant. I mean, lieutenant colonel, then colonel, then after colonel, brigadier general. All right. So he's three steps away from being a brigadier general. But if he goes to represent the brigadier general, though as a major, he will be respected. Why? The people will not see him as Major Atukpa. They will be seeing him as General XYZ that he came to represent. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you, sir. So that means, in the name means you are going there to represent. See, when you say in the name, it's a consciousness. So now, he doesn't go there and say, in the name of General XYZ. No. The fact that it is already there on the order of program, that the person that was supposed to give that speech is General XYZ. The moment he mounts the podium, they assume he's General XYZ. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you stand before demons, those of you in first service, you see me cast out demons. When I say out, sometimes I don't even say nothing. I just say out. Why? I don't have to introduce to the devil that in the name. If he sees me, he sees Jesus. I am not the one in view. So in the name means in the stead. He doesn't see. Even in prayers. Look, let me tell you something. In prayer. See, for your prayers to be effective, there are three vital ingredients I would advise that you include and you are conscious of. Number one, learn to pray in line with God's word. In other words, have God's word for what you're believing God for. Let the word of God influence your prayer. Number two, learn to use the name. Now, when I say use the name, I'm not just talking about you mentioning the name as a suffix to every word that you say in prayer. No. What I mean is pray to the Father as though it was Jesus talking to the Father while he was on the earth. Because don't forget, in the name means in the stead. So you are talking to the Father in the stead of Jesus. And lastly, and very importantly, learn to pray by the power of the Spirit. Don't just mutter words. Let your words be inspired. Someone say, Pastor, so how am I going to get my word inspired? It's not a hard thing to do at all. Learn to meditate on God's word long enough until it propels you into prayer. In other words, let meditation propel you into prayer. If you do these three things and you mix your prayer with these three ingredients, you will have an effective prayer and you'll be amazed at the glory that will elate your life. So in the name is a vital element as well in prayer. So you go to the Father in the name. When you pray to the Father in the name, you are saying, Father, in the name of Jesus. Or each time, even if you don't say so, say, thank you, Lord. Now, what God is looking at, now you see why, if you have to listen to first service, you must listen to first service. That's why it is an aberration for you to go to the Father in prayer, and then you are saying, Father, I am nothing before you. I am stone in the hand of the carver. I am the pencil in the hand of the, we are nothing. This is super story. That's what angels are saying. Say, we are nothing but pencil. Angels, this is super story. We are nothing but we are just worms. Lord, I'm not worthy to come before your presence. Oh God, I'm a worm. And you see, God is like, hey, yeah, you were a worm. But listen, I have made you a new creation. Don't call yourself what I have not called you. It is like disrespecting the blood that bought you. Come on, talk to me. So you see, that's why when we pray, listen, in the name, if you understand this subject, it will damage every sense of unrighteousness in your mind. See, the greatest problem of unanswered prayer is many people pray with vacillating spirits. They pray with doubt. They pray with sense of consciousness, of sinful consciousness. That's why they have order of prayer. You say, we'll give thanks first. Then you forgive, say, Lord, forgive all my sins. You wake up in the morning. You pray last night. You felt the Holy Ghost. You enjoyed. You wake up in the morning again. The first prayer, Lord, forgive me for the sins. Wait, did you sin over the night? I don't understand. Did you sin in your dream? Saying prayer, sin of omission, sin of commission, sin of my fathers. Shut up! You know, people just think, sin. Hey, I sin. Hey, God. Hey, we do not know how to sin. We have sinned. Oh, God, forgive us. Let me even shock you. It is not when you ask for your forgiveness of sin that you were forgiven. You've been forgiven before the foundation of the world. The reason why you ask for forgiveness when you do something wrong is to bring your contrition, the voice of your spirit, in alignment with the voice of the blood. The blood has already been speaking better things consistently. Now, the voice of your conscience has to come to awareness of what the blood has done so that you have confidence. That's what John says. So that we can have confidence if our heart condemns us not. Then we have confidence before God. He says, he now went further. He gave a caveat. He says, but if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. These are conscience issues. That's why I like second service. We are always ready to write and listen. You see, first service, you see, the old church was full. They have come. They want to go and warm their soup. Ah, you see, but these ones, I like you. I like them too.
Because some of you, your friends came for first service. Don't go home and say, ah, pastor said he doesn't like you people. It's us. Like, don't go and cause trouble. But you see, teaching of the word of God is what actually breeds spiritual maturity. That's why we emphasize that people take time, all right, to hear the word, to listen to the word of God. See that? So you have the name simply means you have the signet, the stamp of God. So now that means it's related to righteousness. It's related to righteousness. Because righteousness means to stand before God without any sense of guilt. It also means to stand before Satan and all his courts with a sense of superiority. See, when you stand before God without any sense of guilt, is it before devil you will now be shivering? You stand before God without any sense of guilt. Why? Because he sees you through the eyes of Jesus. Now you stand before devil and all his courts with a sense of mastery. See, when you become a child of God, you became, all right, when you heard the gospel and believed, you became the son of God. You became Satan's master. And you became servant of men. Three things you have to know, because some people don't like that last one. Let me repeat for those that did not hear me well. When you heard the gospel and believed, you got born again, you became sons of God, master of the devil, and servants of men. You're going to serve men. Say, I cannot serve men. I cannot be serving people. I remember it's happy. You're going to serve who? Because the way to greatness, in fact, service is not the way to greatness. Service is greatness. So you are a master. So you should stand before Satan and all his court with a sense of superiority. You should have superiority complex. You didn't get it. You should have superiority complex when you face Satan. Because, hey, he knows you when he sees you. Unfortunately, many of you don't know you. When Satan sees you, he knows you. But you now, sometimes you don't know yourself. That's the problem. So it's identity crisis. When Satan sees you, he's not seeing you. He sees Jesus. Because you are one with him. Let me just use a simple example that will come here, beloved. Take. Now, will she be telling the other person that, the hand of pastor gave me a phone? Is that what she is? Correct English? What would you tell this man? Come. Stay here. So, you're going to ask, where did you get the phone? Did you hear that? She said what? Pastor gave me the phone. She didn't say, the hand of pastor gave me the phone. Thank you. As long as it is my hand, it is still me. Now, the Bible says Jesus is the head, we are the body. How many of you are students here? You have identity card. Let me see your hands up. Identity card. Now, on your identity card, on your identity card, was it a full picture where you did like this that was there? Talk to me because I don't understand. What's on your ID card? What's the picture? What part of your body is on the ID card?
The head.
The head, right? Jesus is the head. So the identity of a body is in the head. So if Jesus is the head, then you are, as a member of the body, then your identity is what? Come on, talk to me. Some people are afraid to talk. So when the world sees you, who do they see?
Jesus.
When you cast out devils, when you lay hands on the sick, who is doing it through you?
Jesus.
Come on.
Jesus.
It's an understanding you must have. And this authority that you have is an authority that commands obedience in all the realms of existence. Look at Philippians 2. Let's look at it. Philippians 2 verse 5. Look at what it says. Paul was using this thing to teach humility, but he went further to now talk about the authority. Look at it. Philippians 2 verse 5. So he says, let this mind be in you. That means a humble mind. Have humility. Walk in humility. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, so he's using it to teach humility, and became obedient. All right? He became what? He became what? All right? He didn't become agbado, cassava, gari. He became what? If you don't get it, forget about it. All right, Isaiah 1 verse 9. I didn't say it. Just before we come back, give me Isaiah 1 verse 9. Quick. Isaiah 1 verse 9. Give me verse 19. Quick. He says, if ye be what? And what? What will happen to you? All right, let's go back to our scripture, Philippians 2. I didn't say nothing. I don't know this church. This church is well. Let's go to Philippians 2. make sure you get your PVC. We can't continue like this. I'm being found. Let's get serious now. I play too much, Abby. All right. I'm being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, because of that, Bible says, therefore, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name. Hold on. He was born in Matthew 1, verse 23. His name is called Jesus. Now, God gave him a name by dying on the cross. After he died on the cross, did his name change to Mayowa? Did it change to Amuson? Come on, talk to me. He's still bearing what? So, but he says God has given him a name. So now you know that the word name does not mean a language unit by which someone's identity is known. Like you have John, Joseph. It's more than that. The word name there means authority. God has given him authority, which is above every authority. Do you understand? So the name there, when you say in the name of Jesus, it doesn't mean just in the name of Jesus. It simply means in the authority of Jesus. So now I am acting in lieu of Jesus. So I am acting as though it was Jesus who was acting. Are you following, church? He now says, which is above every name, that is above every authority, verse 10, that at the authority of Jesus. Notice he didn't say at the mention of the name of Jesus. Come on. He didn't say at the mention of the name Jesus. He says at the name, at the authority of Jesus. Two different things. It says at the authority of Jesus, every knee. I mean, if you were in first service and you've always seen this church, miracle is normal in this church. Say loud amen. When I cast out devils, it's not the time I say in the name of Jesus. I just say, out! They understand. Sometimes I don't talk, I just say, just look into the heart. You know, devil is a bully. How many of you have fought a bully before? Oh, if you didn't go to boarding school, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. There was one guy then in our class. Not in our class, but he's my classmate, but he's not in my own class. You know, you can have SS1, A to G. A, B, A, C, A, D. 1B, 1C. So, there's this guy, he was in 1B, I was in 1G. No, 3, he was in 3B, I was in 3G, GS3. We moved to SS class. So, the guy has always been terrorizing everybody. Now, in our GS3, we used to have what we call extension. That's what we call extension school. We don't go in GS3 and SS3, don't go home. We stay back. We do classes so that we can prepare us for, I don't know, do you know why? Do we even do anything with this? I see Minister of Education among you here. Yeah. My God. All right. So we write Junior YX, SS3 and GS3 will be in the hostel. They will pack all of us into two hostels so that we'll not be different in different hostels. Then guess who stayed too? Then, so during that extension, he still wants to start forming territory. I went for him. My God. And you know what happened? You know those days now? When you beat a guy, you do it in front of girls so that you now do like this. Try me. Try me. So I found out he was such a weak guy. Just one blow. But the thing is, I actually narrowly missed him. We began to separate us. Since that day, I don't know, I think I smushed his mouth, you know, somewhere blood came out from that day till we graduated. Whenever I see me, they'll say, how are you doing now? I'll say, Even though I knew that perhaps if we had been on a fair context, probably would have knocked me down. See, let me tell you, psychologists will tell you, bullies are weak men. The devil is a bully. And as long as you keep, you know, doing like this under him, all right, if you give him 1 foot, he will go 100 feet. So stand your ground. I'm telling today, Zin Chukai, Zamu Idembe, Kai. Somebody say, I have the name. It's important you know you do. There's a sickness or a pain somewhere. It goes and it comes. He's a very intelligent being. He will make you spend all your money. It will go as if it is going. Then when it's gone, it will now come again. Then you spend more money again. This is supposed to know. This is happening for so long now. They are intelligent beings. Take authority. Stop saying it's just a pain. No. In fact, let your first response to a situation be in the name before you think about drug. Now, I'm not against drug because medical doctors are our friends. They are working together with us against disease. Come on, talk to me. But before, don't let your first response be drug. Let your first response be what? In the name. Then now go ahead and take drug. And even when you are taking drug, as you take that paracetamol, say, now I command you this drug as you go inside me, go and nourish me and walk well now. In the name of Jesus. I'm using it as a point of contact now. And then you take it. That's the name. Use the name. He knows. He knows you. Glory to God forevermore. Let me show you. Look at that Philippians 2 that we are in. Look at it. Verse 9. He says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things. Now, if you have your hard copy here, the word things there is italicized. I want someone to confirm so that you don't think maybe pastor is boboing us. I'm not a bobo person. Of things. Did you notice that the things there is italicized? Now, anytime you read your Bible, I'm teaching you some things about hermeneutics. When you see some things are italicized or in parentheses, it is not in the originals. It is the editor, the writer. We call them lexicographers. They are the ones who actually put it there to aid your reading. Now, let me explain to you why it is good, it is so. Let me explain. So, you know, English is very shallow. So, how many of you have had a situation where you are speaking your language? Maybe you are Mada. You are speaking your language and then one Yoruba guy just came and he's not asking you, guys, what's in how you talk now? And you're not like, you are trying to convey to him in English, but it was difficult. Have you ever heard that? It's not because you didn't have A in English in your Wayeko, but you just lack the right word. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yes, and if you not want to write what you said verbatim, you have difficulty. You will know where to put certain conjuncts. I don't even know what I'm saying. If you were to write what you say in your language verbatim, you have difficulty. Right? So that was what was happening. The Bible was actually written verbatim. It was translated, not interpreted. So there was a problem. There's always a problem sometimes when we read it in the English form. But it is good they wrote it that way. Because we are not too sure what that person will have interpreted will have been, whether it will have been correct. So it was actually written verbatim. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:21 says, no scripture is of private interpretation, but holy men of God spake. The Holy Ghost came on them, used their tongue without passing through their head, and it was written. So they didn't even know what they wrote. Let me give you an instance. A Jewish prophet will never say,
that a son is given, a child is born, and his name shall be called Mighty God. That's blasphemy. No Jewish person will say so. Talk more of a Jewish prophet, a Jewish Nabi. Never. But because he said it under the influence of the Spirit, that's why it was written. Because that's blasphemy. How can you call a human being God? That's one thing that's what they made them kill Jesus. It's blasphemy. So it has to be under the influence of the Spirit. So these things were written like that. So when you see, when it says of things, it was the lexicographer that put that thing so that to help your reading, to aid your reading. But it is not there. So look up. It's like, for instance, now when the Bible says, in King James, it says, the Bible says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for the saints, right? I mean, say the word itself, right? But the Holy Spirit is not a thing that we use it for. The itself is not the original word. The original word is autos. A-U-T-O, like if you have automatic car. When something is automatic. So the word supposed to be self-same. So it can be self-same it, self-same e, self-same she. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is the Spirit himself, or self-same e, parenthesis. Anyway, make sure you enroll for hermeneutics next year in January. So the Spirit himself, not itself. So when it says that at the name of Jesus, the same thing here, of things is not there. So it's supposed to be of beings. Of beings in heaven. Are there beings in heaven? Yes, not human beings. Beings. Living creatures. Come on. Do you have angels in heaven? Do you have living creatures in heaven? I think when they are doing teaching on angels, there are 5 major categories of them. See, I don't do all this spooky teaching because I just feel you should just know basic things. There are beings in heaven. Now, all those beings, they respond to the name. When you stand and you command in the name of Jesus, angels respond. So all the beings in heaven, let me say something that, just for semantics, do you know even the Father in heaven responds to the name? In short, let me tell you, the name of Jesus is the family name. And you are a member of that family. You remember when Paul was praying in Ephesians 3 verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Give it to me, Philippians 3 verse 14. Look at what it says. Philippians 3 verse 14. Are you there? It says, I press toward... No, Ephesians, beg your pardon, not Philippians. Ephesians 3 verse 14. All right, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he will grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, and to know the ginosko, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's 14 to 17, to 19. Okay, they got it. Verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about God. Of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is what? So God bears that name. So when you talk to God, says in the name of Jesus, God responds because it's like he sees you like Jesus was still on earth. You know, the Bible says, Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus says, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. That means God hears Jesus all the time. And since he now sees you through the eyes of Jesus, you have unrestrained, unabated, unstoppable, no barricade entrance of answered prayer. Don't say, but not all of my prayers are answering. It will start being so from today. Amen. Because now you'll be praying in consciousness. Come on, talk to me. So now when you talk to the Father, talk like this is Jesus talking to God. And do you even know the point? This teaching is just for semantics. Jesus is God. Oh, don't worry. This is a reality of the man
who is born again. The reality of our authority in the name. Of beings in heaven. Of beings on earth. Come on, don't go away, media. Of beings on earth, Philippians 2. Of beings in heaven, of beings on earth. So it is not things. Philippians 2 and verse 10. Thank you. That at the name of Jesus, that means at the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things. Now, does things have knee? Just to let you know what I'm saying is correct. Does things have knee? Things. Does this thing has a knee? Talk to me now. For him to, there's something we call in English language personification. For him to personify those things, then those things have intelligent beings. They are intelligent beings. Come on. So of beings, every knee must bow. Of beings in heaven. That means to bow simply means to respond. That means you have the right to command their obedience. You have the right to command their obedience. So of beings, every nation should bow. Of beings in heaven, of beings in earth. Who are the beings on earth? Men making decisions concerning you in your workplace. Are you listening to me? Government policies. Nature. In Joshua chapter number 10, verse 12. All right, Joshua, by the Spirit came upon him and he says, you son, stand still. The high of Aijalon. And then they were fighting their enemies. And what happened is that God made it to happen that there was darkness. Because, you know, sun standing still simply means, you know, the sun does not move. It just simply means that the heart will not move. So there will be no rotation. So the sun will keep being in their favor and those people will be in darkness until they completely destroy their enemies. It was in a war. So now that means nature, think about that. That means the earth will refuse to rotate, the earth refuses to revolve. And if the earth is not revolving, there will be a planetary collision. Therefore, for him to say the earth should not move, that means all other planetary bodies too will stand still. So, how was he able to do so? Don't forget, there was not Jesus that time. He was in the authority, in the stead, because it was in favor of God's people. I'm showing you, because you see, the Bible says in the book of Micah 4 verse 4, Micah 4 verse 5, the Bible says, everyone will walk in the name of his God. Nobody walks just alone. And he says, but we will walk in the name of our God. Look at it. It says, for all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God. If you're not born again, you are walking in the name of somebody. You know now. John 8:44. When Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you are like your father, the devil. If you are not a child of God, you are a child of the devil. There are no two ways about it. You could be nice, you are a nice devil. That's why ladies will say, Pastor, you know, there's this guy. I just like him. He's a nice guy. Nice guy. Okay, he's a nice guy. What is it about? What's his name? By the time they call the name, I say, wait, I don't get. Is this I converted? Is he? He said, no, I would like him than all the Christian friends I've ever had. Why can't I? I just like the guy. The guy is a good guy. He's a nice guy. See, nice guy is nice child of devil. And when you marry a nice child of devil, the devil is your father-in-law. Now, don't stop the devil. I mean, you can't stop the devil from coming to his son. I mean, he can summon you anytime. I remember some months ago, my wife's dad flew into Abuja and he says, you guys, Moferia, you married you. And then we just went to meet him, father-in-law. It's called father-in-law, in law, according to law. So by law, he can come in anytime. It's simple. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Don't be deceived by shawarma. Praise God. Say, I have the name. So why isn't the name working for many? I'll just give you two reasons, then we close. Why isn't the name working for many? Not many know they have the name. Not many know they have the name. Then number two, weak faith in the name. In fact, they are one and the same. What you don't know, you don't have. What you don't know you have, you can't exercise faith in it. Talk to me. I'll give you an instance. Imagine if I have M16 or AK-47, or let's even say a pistol, a silencer, the one that does not make noise. If I have it under my bed now, imagine. I didn't say I have it too. But this is not America where I would have a gun license. All right, imagine if you have a licensed pistol under your bed. And thieves come to rob you with knockouts. They just came, just threw knockout. Pow, 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 pow. Especially if it's all these ladies. Yeah, oh my God! Oh my God! They run from mosquito now. They run from cockroach. I'm talking to somebody. Oh my God! What is this? So they just throw banga. Is that not what they call it? Banga, vernacular, right? Knockout. Pa, 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 hey! Only for when the thieves are gone, you now found out, hey, I share, I get peace too. Hey, the natural ubansu. Right? Come on, talk to me. So what you have, if you don't know you have it, it won't matter you have it. It won't matter because it makes no difference that you have it. You won't be able to make use of it. So you can't even exercise faith in it in the first place. So one, know you have it. Two, have faith in it. Now, if you don't have faith in something, it's usually deficiency of knowledge about that thing. Let me give you an instance. If I walk up to you now and say, hey, how are you? Sit down, just sit down. I say, how are you? Yeah. I just sent $1 million into your account now. You smile, you say, Then you now say, amen. But if Jeff Bezos moved in here now and he says, hey, guy, I sort of like you. I've seen your name. I've sent you $1 million. Would you say? You won't say amen. You just say. You just say. Now, why? What makes the difference? Because you know, pastor doesn't have $1 million. Except he's gonna have it now, sha. Amen. But Jeff Bezos has it. So the reason why you can exercise faith in him is because you know his worth. So who is giving me this name? Jesus. What is his worth? Where does his authority reach? What is the coverage of his network? The Bible says, in heaven, on earth, and in hell. Of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. That means in hell. So in all the realm of existence, he can command obedience. That is the one who gave me his name to use. That means I have a blank check to command obedience in all realms of existence. So when I use the name, demons will scuttle in despair. Diseases will scamper in terror. Satan himself will scuttle in despair. Why? Even when I use the name, angels are responding. Even God the Father sees me through him. That means in all the realms, in hell, all the demons are quaking. Why? I'm using the name. In consciousness that it was Jesus using it. Did you get what I'm talking about? This is the mindset I have when I cast out devils. It's not about me. Oh, you feel a pain, put your hand there, say, ouch, in the name of Jesus. That's all. And expect that it will go. Don't say, is he still there? No. It's an expression of weak faith in the name. In the name. Look at the girl that gave testimony of her dad on last special miracle that was daddy was healed of cancer. Let me tell you, in the spirit, whether it is cancer, whether it is pneumonia or common headache, it's you that call it common headache, or you say it's malaria. Did you know some years ago, malaria was a deadly disease? I mean, if you had malaria, it's a dead sentence. The same malaria that somebody catches now, you say, it's not much, it's just malaria. Really? Once upon a time, people who had malaria, it was dead sentence. What I'm telling you is, it makes no difference. It is on the head realm that we say, big disease, small disease, big disease. In the spirit realm, they all respond to the name. They all respond to the name. Be bold to use the name. Be bold to use the name. Oh, if you will build your faith, if you will build your faith on the name, there will be no impossibility with you. You remember that guy called Peter? He says, such as I have, give I thee in the name. So he reckoned that he has the name. He reckoned he has the name. So you must also have that mindset. You must have that disposition that you have the name. Use the name. Have you learned something? Will you start using the name? No, don't start using the name for your pencil. Say, my Bible, come now in Jesus' name. No, those are simple things. There are some things that God just gives you brain to use. That's why he blesses us with brains to use. But things, all right, sometimes you have to do the natural things for the supernatural to work. So Jesus will tell them, roll away the stone so that I can call forth the impossible. Come on. They can roll away the stone. Right? Yes, sir. But he can do what they cannot do by raising Lazarus up. Right? Yes, that means the natural is not against the supernatural. See, aeroplane cannot function without gravity. As a matter of fact, the knowledge of gravity helps the aeronautic engineer to build an aircraft machine, engine, that will make it fly. Did you hear what I said? Because if you don't understand gravity, drag, you won't be able to invent the law of lift. Because the law of lift actually override gravity. It's that same principle. So knowing, are you listening to me? Knowing that you have the name is the prerequisite to using the name. So, number one, you must know you have the name. Then number two, you must have faith in the name. So, from today, start seeing yourself in the greater light of what the word says. Start seeing yourself in the name, through the eyes of the name, of the authority that you have in him. Let's do a recap. In Christ, we have fundamental truth about the Christian faith. Number one, we spoke about the reality of the word. That means the word of God must be real to you. You must see God's word as God writing a letter to you. I told them in first service about a story of when I was in secondary school, that there was this brown skin girl. Her name is Rana Tukuso. I'll be deleted on this one. All right. Her name is Rana Tukuso, and I remember that I like her so much. Like, you know, she's a Nupe girl. Fine. But it's not fine like my wife, yeah. So then she will write. You know, those days there are no phones. And even if there were phones, they won't be allowed to use phone in school. So I'll write. I remember I toasted her, just wrote, I think I kind of like you and all of that. That was those days of an empty street, an empty house. I hold this at night. I'm not alone. These rooms are getting smaller. Oh, yeah. I wonder why. Yeah. Ah. Don't worry. All right. So she will write her own back, too. So I had those love letters packed inside my book. We used to have lockers in those days in the hostel, you know, boarding school lockers. So I had it there. So after inspection, we used to do inspection on Saturday where they would come and check all our bed sheet, all those things. So after inspection, we're waiting for lunch. on Sunday. I cannot forget. We used to eat yellow rice on Sunday. So I will now sit down there and pick all those things and read it. I rather to kuso get scared on Sunday. I'll just read it. So in the same vein, the Bible is God's love letter to you. Particularly the epistles. Listen, in the Bible, there are things written to you to learn from. Like you can learn from the story of Joseph, story of David, but there are things written of you. Those ones are the things you have in Christ. So, for example, if you check all the epistles, Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, anywhere you see in him, in whom? In Christ. For example, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So, I am in Christ, I am a new creation. So, the love letter of God to you from that scripture is, dear Bolaji, if your name is Bolaji, or dear Favor, you are a new creation. So, because you are in him, new creation is your reality. So, Ephesians 1:7, in him, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom? Talking about Christ. So, that means, dear, what's your name, sweetheart? What's your name? Eh? Mary Jane. Dear Mary Jane, you have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So now, that redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, is now your reality because you are now in him. Look at it, in whom we have. So you have redemption, you have it, and you have forgiveness of sin. So you say, glory to God, I have redemption, I have forgiveness of sin. It is my present, our continuous reality. Come on. Do you get what I'm saying? So, we spoke about that redemption is your reality. Indwelling spirit is your reality. New creation is your reality. Righteousness is your reality. Then we find a good place to pause in this series. We call it that authority in the name is also your reality. Lift your hands and just thank him. Thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. In Jesus, I have it all. In Jesus, I have it all. In Jesus, I have it all.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.